Around Comics, Episode 16.
From Chicago, this is Around Comics, a weekly roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime and the producer of the show, Brian Salazar.
Good afternoon, everyone.
And making the trip all the way from Racine, Wisconsin today is our manga man in the know. He is Matt Summer.
Oh, don't pigeonhole me there, Chris. I'm an expert in everything. Comic field.
Yeah.
how's it going?
Very good. And the manager of Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, he is big, he is bad, he is Mark Beatty.
Hey, guys.
Well, we'd like to welcome everyone to the show. We are recording live from Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles today because it is Free Comic Book Day. And
yippee!
And that is what we're going to be talking about today. Mark, you are the manager here at Dark Tower, and this is the sixth year that Free Comic Book Day has been in effect. What is the effect of Free Comic Book Day on Dark Tower?
Minimal, actually. It seems like stores in Chicago don't get affected as much as stores that are in the burbs or in rural areas, just because there's so many comic stores in Chicago.
Sure. Do you guys do anything special for Free Comic Book Day besides, you know, just basically putting a poster up in the window?
No, just basically promote it all week long, talk to people, and during the month mention to people that we're having the Free Comic Book Day coming up. Just push it a little bit more than you would a normal.
Normal Saturday.
Yeah, normal Saturday, exactly. Hey, it's Saturday. Come on in.
Yeah, well, we know it's a little bit after 12 here on Saturday. And I've noticed that there's been not a steady stream of people, but there's always been at least someone in the store checking out the free comic books. Mm-hmm. But you know, I think I see your point in that in like rural towns or out in the suburbs, the larger cities, it's probably a little bit bigger deal. I mean, there are, you know, literally, what, probably 15, 20 comic shops in Chicago that are really spreading that out.
Yeah, three within a mile of here, so actually four within a mile and a half, I think, total.
Well, Chris, I know that this may seem hard to believe, but for those people that don't know, what is Free Comic Book Day, and how does it work?
Well, one place that you can go to get the skinny on everything is www.freecomicbookday.com, and they give a brief history of what Free Comic Book Day is and how they've run it for the last 6 years. They give a pretty comprehensive list of all the books that they give out on Free Comic Book Day. But I'll throw it back over to Mark. How do you prepare for Free Comic Book Day?
We order the books months in advance. That's basically it. Like I said, we just tell people things are coming in for the posters that when they finally send us posters and promo stuff, put those up on the doors and windows. And that's basically it. And then just on Saturday, get here a little early and set up.
Now, from a retailer's side of it, how does it work as far as you getting the comics? Are you getting them at a discounted price? Are you getting them free from the publishers? How does that work?
We get them at a discounted rate. They're usually anywhere between about 25 and up to, I think I saw 40 and 50 cents on some. And this year there was an abnormal amount of Free Comic Book Day comics. I swear there had to be 100 different titles.
Why do you think that is?
I think a lot of smaller companies are looking to promote their books, to get them out there.
It's a lot of the independents that are, you know, where most of the time during the year they're going to have no shot at getting a book into a comic store.
Exactly.
But on Free Comic Book Day, the shops have little skin in the game, so this is their chance.
That's exactly right.
Exactly. And that's the biggest hurdle, right, for independent comics, is getting people to actually know they exist.
Sure.
And, you know, buying the latest Marvel is a way easier choice than buying this new weird book that you've never seen before. So I guess you take the hit, give out the free book, hope that you can.
Basically. Yeah, that's. I mean, it's a sales tool for us too, because you pick a few up here and there, and there, maybe they'll like them enough to come back when the book actually starts coming out regularly. But yeah, that's just it's a sales tool for independent comics. It's a good idea for them.
What I've seen is that a lot of the smaller companies are putting anthologies together. So you come in, you get that as a free comic book, and oh my gosh, it is a young girl that has just walked into a comic shop.
Just a girl,
and she's picking up free comics.
Comics.
That's, I don't know
why, because they're...
We're going to have to take a break. We'll be right back.
Be very, very quiet.
Don't scare her away.
Don't scare her off.
But I do see a lot of the anthologies where, did Boom do an anthology? I forget, you know, out of the piles of free comics what came out there, but I know Emily Edison was one that was mentioned in an anthology that we did a story on, and so you're getting four, five, six mm-hmm. different books in
with little three-page, four-page stories in them.
Yeah, which is a great idea, you know, especially, you know, for the kind of like prospector. You know.
It's a great idea, but I think, you know, one of the big flaws of Free Comic Book Day is that it's sort of left up to the retailers, and they're not giving, other than giving them a discount on the books and maybe some posters or shirts or whatever else, there's not a whole lot of incentive to do much more, because the marketing on Free Comic Book Day is... It follows
marketed to comic book fans.
Exactly, marketed to people that are coming to the stores anyway. Although this year it seems like it, I did notice a lot more mainstream press picking up the story that Free Comic Book. This was Free Comic Book Day. I did see that in a lot of smaller newspaper articles and that kind of thing, especially on the internet, that today was Free Comic Book Day. And go into your store, you know, find your local comic shop. So I think they're trying to build that, but once again, it sort of follows that flaw that they're marketing to the core people that already buy the comics.
Sure.
And yet the comics that are coming out, most of them are not really geared towards those people. They're geared towards kids. I mean, if you look at most of the comics that are coming out, you know, they're not geared towards the people they're marketing to.
Well, so I just happen to have a stack of free comic books here, and we'll go through what Dark Tower has out today. They have Worlds of Aspen. That's the Michael Turner book. Sal just grabbed it from me. He's like, ooh, pretty sweet.
The cover. Can't get that from your online service, can you?
They sent me free comics. Not this one, but...
We have Slave Labor Stories is another one.
Looks like some Evan Dark and Goodness. Let me take a look at that.
LSG. We have a Star Wars free comic from...
That's just a great sentence. Evan Darkness Goodness. That's
say that five times fast.
Yeah, this is like...
Man, and you win a free comic.
I haven't seen Bill and Ted comics since Marvel stopped publishing those. I don't know when there's
a reason for that.
We've got the Image Comics Summer Special with Invincible and, Spawn, Savage Dragon, and Witchblade on the cover.
You know, and I think that was part of the problem initially when Free Comic Book Day, and not, you know, it's not to their fault, it's... You know, but a lot of the comics that came out were of low quality, of sort of throw-in issues or, you know, stuff that nobody would normally ever really read anyway. But I think the publishers are starting to realize that it is a possibility to get people involved more, and they're coming out with better quality stuff. X-Men Runaways, you know, once again, that's a book geared towards whom?
Well, it's geared towards us. You know, we know who Runaways are in X-Men, but that's not a throwaway book. I'm actually really looking forward to reading that.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're seeing better quality stuff come out on Free Comic Book Day. Not all of it, but...
Spider-Man, we've got a Simpsons free comic, we've got Beast Wars The Gathering, so Dave Wachter will be happy about that. He's a Beast Wars fan. Another Transformers, so those are coming out from IDW. Justice League Unlimited, Duel Masters from DW.
Well, this is kind of interesting. This Duel to the Death with Vulture, this Spider-Man, Marvel Age Spider-Man Free Comic Book Day is plot by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko.
Oh, well, the Marvel Age line, I don't know if you've ever picked those up, but those are the redrawings of the original stories.
That's what I thought.
Kind of modernize them all. And is that a new book or is that a reprint?
It's a reprint. They're always reprints. But that's, I think that one's actually from last year.
Okay.
There was a few thrown in there from last year.
Oh, jeez. So. but, you know, overall, I think you look at, you know, some of the quality of the stuff and it's certainly better. But once again, I think a lot of it is geared towards kids, which is great. Mm-hmm. If you can get the word out to parents that don't normally come to a comic shop, that you can come to your local comic shop and your kid can get a stack full of free comics.
Sure.
I don't know if that's happening or not. I don't know if people are aware of it. You know, the retailers can only do so much. I mean, they don't have the, you know, the dollars to go out and put huge ads out or anything like that.
Well, you know, speaking of ads, Mark, as an LCS manager, you guys don't have a tremendous amount of money to dump into advertising.
No,
newspaper
no,
advertising is not cheap. Is this a chance for Diamond to kind of put their money where their mouth is and buck up some advertising, or at least co-op dollars for comic shops to say, hey, let's get you know, at least a third page ad in, you know, a newspaper the day before Free Comic Book Day? Or does Diamond even, you know, care about this?
They, like I was saying before the show we were talking, is that their advertising matters on how many you buy. They'll
But who are they advertising to? What advertising do they offer?
They've had advertising in all kinds of. If there's been news on Free Comic Book Day, having in different magazines, different papers, on different news services, things like that.
Okay, so it is stuff outside of the comic book realm.
Yeah, they're promoting it.
Okay,
but I don't know how well it works or how targeted the marketing is, really. So. Yeah. It's hard to say. I mean, we don't see too much.
Because I look at that as, since Diamond is kind of like the distributor, I see that the onus is on them for the advertising, even more so than maybe the publishers. You know, I'd love to see Marvel run a, you know, come check out the new adventures of Spider-Man on Free Comic Book Day. But, you know, let's, you know, be serious. They're not going to do that. And I think it's really on Diamond to do that. So I'm calling you out, Diamond.
I think part of the problem is that, you know, it's the same as it always has been, that the people that all the onus is always dumped on the people who can least afford it. Mm-hmm. So Diamond doesn't advertise. Marvel and DC don't advertise. So it's up to the shop to advertise. And they're the ones that don't really have the money to advertise in a huge way or get this out there other than grassroots kind of stuff, I guess. I heard stories, and I don't know about Mark's experience, but I've heard people say that basically, you get out of it kind of what you can put into it. If you really want to bust your ass and go out there and, like, contact all the papers,
make a huge
do all
event
this stuff,
out of it.
Then you can probably, you know, make that happen. Whether or not that's worth the effort, or I don't know, you know.
Well, I mean, it brings a point I wanted to bring. You know, you see other shops, you know, in different parts of the country, and, you know, there's different things that they're doing, whether it's signings, whether it's, you know, Bendis going to his local comic shop and working the counter, whether it's barbecues, that kind of thing. But once again, you can make a huge investment into it and hope it pays off, but in reality, you know, how much are you going to be able to get out
What's
of it?
What's your return on that?
Yeah, you know, it's
a lot of people you're drawing in are people that don't normally buy comics, and truth be told, you probably won't see them again till next year.
Yeah.
And that's the sad part.
Well, you told me a story. There was a store down in Florida that was doing a huge event.
They're doing a huge thing. They have signings. But they're dealing with the CGC.
It was like the official CGC.
Yeah, because that's where CGC's main location is in Florida. And it's some store down there that they're working with, and they're having a huge thing going on with them to promote Free Comic Book Day. So I don't know if it was them doing it mostly or if it was the comic book store. I'm assuming it was CGC kind of. You know, contacting your area store.
I mean, that almost makes sense because they're you know, selling comics for $40, $50, $60, $100, $200,
$500. Those ain't free comic books,
baby. Well, you know what I mean? But
AroundComics.com, your source for discussion, news, and reviews about your favorite comics and creators. New podcasts available every Monday. Go to www.AroundComics.com.
You know, I'm just really curious into seeing how this actually does translate. You know, does this statistically actually have any kind of impact on new readership or not? Because if all you're doing is giving freebies to the same old people that are coming into your shop anyway, then that's a whole different thing. I mean, that's I guess what the independent comics are trying to do, is to hit that pre-existing comic audience with a free book.
That's any marketing event or any marketing promotion that you do, you have to have some sort of drawback into the store. So, you know, one thing I don't see with Free Comic Book Day is a customer card. You know, it's like, here, you know, have some free comic books, but fill out this customer card, give us your email address, and we will send you an email whenever we have sales, specials, signings, etc. So
taking advantage of any traffic you may bring in and trying to maximize any results from that. If you're not going to turn them into a weekly customer, at least try and gain, you know, their information so that you can go back and try and market to them again.
Sell their name to a mailing list.
Well,
hopefully not. But from a store standpoint, Mark, I mean, I can see you guys next year having customer cards where it's like, hey, take these, fill this out, and you know, if you don't want to, that's fine. But, you know, give us your email, and we'll send you, you know, emails whenever we have great sales, or we'll alert you to next year's free.
We're working on that kind of stuff. It's just.
But no, I don't see that in any store.
That'll be $7,500 consultation fee. Around Comics Marketing Company.
TM. 2006. So, Scott, have you gone to a free comic book day before?
I've been to a couple in the past. I don't know that I did last year, because I just don't generally go to the comic shop on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. I'm usually there on Wednesdays, although I don't go to one at all really much anymore. Because I'm one of those dreaded internet, buying few. But
don't throw anything anymore. Back off, big boy.
I've been to them before, and they're all sort of the same. I mean, you are getting some people in the door that are coming to pick this stuff up, and hopefully picking up other stuff. But I don't know that it's
for us the hardened comic book fan. I don't know if the draw is there.
Yeah, most of the stuff that's out, it's not like I'm real excited to get my hands on and read anyway. I mean, they're free comics, so if there's something other, good, but I don't know that I'd make a special trip.
Yeah, I mean, some shops, I don't know, it depends on, I guess, the shop and the policy and everything, whether or not you can just go in there and start grabbing stuff, or, if you get one or two, because, let's face it, comic fans are pretty cheap bastards a lot of times. We'll take whatever freebies we can get. I mean,
I'm not saying anything.
You've been to Chicago, you've been to the Wizard World Chicago. You've seen people scramble for swag. So,
I could say is before I ran a comic book store, I never really went in for a free comic book day. Just didn't excite me that much. I didn't aim in to get here on that special day to pick up that special book. Just didn't excite me that much.
Some of the forum posts that we had were actually kind of interesting. I'm going to have Sal read some of those here in just a second. But that seemed to be the common theme going through a lot of them was, I've never been to Free Comic Book Day, but it sounds really cool. So what are some of the forum posts that we have?
From David, it says, I've never been at any shop on Free Comic Book Day. I think it's a great idea. I know the retailers still have to purchase the books they are giving away, which already starts it at a loss. Hopefully, it does generate sales on that day and days after. It'd be nice if the publishers, DC, offered something decent, however, and why just one title? I'd love to hear what others do on that day as far as helping the comics community. So, yeah, I mean, he does make a point. It's only going to be as successful as the publishers and the retailers get behind it. And the retailers, like Matt said, they're the least able bodies to do anything on this day, to really, promote it. So,
you know what? The other thing is, why doesn't Marvel and DC have more than one book? Well, why should they? It depends on what their opinions are. If their aim is to attract new readers, then maybe they should have more products. But if their aim, they're already king of the heap in the small little world that we have here. So, I guess.
What's the point? Well, they seem to try and get behind it to a certain degree, but, it still amazes me how little that those publishers do.
Well, I don't think that if Marvel and DC promoted more, put more books out, printed more books for Free Comic Book Day, would it bring more customers in, I don't know, but it would overshadow all the independent books that come out, though.
Well, think of
everybody would come and want just those books. They wouldn't want the slave labor. They're not going to want that. They're going to want Superman and Batman and the X-Men and Spider-Man and whatever else they're going to put out.
Yeah, but if Marvel or DC, decided to take and print something that wasn't a reprint, wasn't, was a top-level, writer and artist and was an exclusive that you could only get on Free Comic Book.
That's X-Men Runaways.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's it's close. It's not a top writer or artist, though. I mean,
Brian K. Vaughan? Come on.
It's got Wolverine, it's got Brian K. Vaughan, and
Scotty
it's
Young, a guy who's, who's an up-and-coming artist, but not necessarily.
I dislike.
Well, but he's, I mean, yeah, certainly Brian K. Vaughan, but.
To each his own. You're a St. Louis fan, too. There's nothing I can do about it, man.
But it's not exactly what I'm saying. Okay, our next post is from Darth Kramer.
Matt
says, I've never gone to a free comic book day either, as the way I see it, it's not intended for me. They've got no reason to try to win me over with free books since I'm already buying a lot. But this year I'm looking forward to going to get the Viper Comics preview, as I'm a fan of Dead at 17, and looking forward to the new ongoing. There are a few books I'm looking to pick up, so I'll get those when I go in.
Yeah, that's the anthology I was thinking. That's one with Emily Edison and the Dead of 17.
Yeah, that's not Boom. I'm not sure if Boom did anything or not. I didn't see anything come out from them for Free Comic Book Day. They may have, but I didn't see it anywhere.
Yeah, Matt has a couple posts from our forum at Comic Geek Speak. Make sure to check us out there if you have a chance.
Okay, this one's from our buddy The Pamp. local Chicago guy.
Pat may be joining us a little bit later, by the way.
He says, every Free Comic Book Day I've experienced has been a good one. Usually hit 3 to 5 shops in the span of the day and get as many comics as possible. You cheap bastard. The nice thing is that most shops set a limit, but when it starts to slow down, they let you take one of everything. 1 year I walked away with somewhere in the range of 30 free comics. Not bad. He says, good shops will also supplement the free comics with cheap comics. 1 year I went to a shop with free comics, and they had a table next to it with some current 50-cent and dollar comics. I really made it like a bandit that day. So there's an idea. Yeah. Tying that in with some kind of sale or promotion or something.
Well, here at Dark Tower, they've got, you know, all their dollar comics, and the free comics are right there. So,
and we have a hell of a selection of dollar comics.
A huge selection.
That is true.
This episode of Around Comics is sponsored by...
Yeah, totally editorially independent.
Well, it's certainly... I think it does give you an opportunity to maybe become creative as a retailer and try and, you know, I mean, I think as a retailer, that has to be your goal. Is any traffic you get in the store on this day, you're trying to convert them into not just picking up free comics, but also, you know, looking around the store and buying something else and coming back to the store. So it's a small little thing that is good for the industry, but it's only going to be as good as the retailers and the publishers decide to make it.
Sure. Anything else from the Around Comics forum there, Sal?
Yes, this one is from I Am Sci-Fi.
That's Ian Levenstein. From Geekspeak.
He said, Free Comic Book Day does something that is incredibly difficult to do on other days of the year. It brings the cheapskates in. No, I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean it just as I said it. Parents who would normally not bring their kids to a comic book store because it costs too much money will bring them to Free Comic Book Day because it is, quite simply, free. Then from there, a child may find a book that they are interested in and then start their path towards collecting on a regular basis. For the already established fan, it can give an opportunity to find books from publishers and creators alike we have never seen before, while at the same time increasing our knowledge on characters we may already know. For instance, X-Men Runaways was a great idea by Marvel and should do just that for the Runaways crew. So all in all, it's a great idea and something I'm looking quite forward to come Saturday.
Mark, do you see parents bring kids in for Free Comic Book Day that you normally don't see in the store?
Once in a while. We saw one recently.
Actually, two.
I wish they hadn't
left. Yeah.
I would like to talk to them, but...
You, little girl, yeah. Come over here. Yeah.
Get in the van.
How much for that girl?
Yeah, I mean, you see those people come in with their kids, but it's just literally to get them a free book, and tribute. They usually don't come back. And that's the sad part. I mean, there's a whole, like I said, there's a whole line of comics from Marvel that, you know, is aimed at kids and parents. I think parents just hear what they hear nowadays about comics, and it's all adult fare, and don't think that they still produce books for kids, so they just don't bring them in like they used to.
Listen to Around Comics, new, every Monday, and now with all new and improved bumpers between segments. The anticipation is killing you, isn't it?
Okay, we've actually found some young comic book fans that have made it into the store for Free Comic Book Day. Guys, tell me your name and how old you are.
I'm Coleman, I'm 9. I'm Seamus, I'm 7.
Alright, guys. So, you came here for Free Comic Book Day today?
Yep.
Have you found anything that you liked or looked cool?
We're still looking.
Still checking out? Do you read comics right now?
Yep. Yeah, I have a whole box.
Really? What do you guys like to read?
I don't know. He likes Star Wars. Superman. I would read anything.
Well, what's in that big box that you got, the comics?
I have a lot of Superman, Batman. I have... What else? Oh, yeah, my Indiana Jones comic book.
God, it sounds like me when I was his age.
How'd you guys get into comics? How'd you start reading comics? Why?
When I learned to read, I started reading them.
Did your friends read comics, or did mom and dad introduce you to comics? How did you...
I don't know. I don't remember much.
Uncle Matt got you into comics?
Yeah.
They bring you all those good Spider-Man and that kind of stuff, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So is your mom and dad brought you here today?
Yeah. Kind of.
Did you make them? Did you twist their arm? Say, we got to go to Free Comic Book Day, pick up some free comics?
Yep.
How'd you guys know it was Free Comic Book Day?
Uncle Matt.
Uncle Matt?
We got to meet Uncle Matt. This guy sounds cool.
I'm sure Uncle Matt has been here.
Everybody needs an Uncle Matt in their life. So
absolutely.
That is awesome. So, your mom, right?
I'm mom.
Okay, well, and what's your name?
My
My name's Paula Messberger.
Her name's Mom.
Mom.
And do you like your kids reading comic books?
Not all comic books.
Okay. So do you make sure that you look through what they bring home or what Uncle Matt drops off
yes,
for them?
Okay. We try to. And we steer them away from certain shelves in the comic book stores.
Sure. What do you like about comics for them to read? What do you look for whenever you're looking through their books?
Well, we don't like the bad words in comic books or the bad pictures, but you know, most of the comic books they have are good stories that they like to read. Awesome. So it kind of promotes reading, I guess.
As long as they're reading something, yes, right?
Exactly. Yes. Do you guys go to like comic book movies like Spider-Man and the X-Men movies, that kind of, do you guys, you know, does that, you know, try and get you to read comics, or do you just like them for the movies?
I just like to read them a lot.
Okay. That's awesome. Well, you guys, you get back to picking out some of those great free comics, and thank you. It just makes us really happy to see guys your age in the stores and doing this. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Mom, for bringing them out today.
No problem. They brought us here.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. So real life young comic book fans.
That was pretty cool to see.
Ancient species. We have found them in the wild.
Yeah, really. No, this is like a Discovery Channel.
As Mark would say, you can't find that online.
Gosh darn right.
You're listening to Around Comics. You can even listen naked and no one would ever know. But seriously, I wouldn't go around telling people about that because it's pretty freaking weird.
All right, this next question is for Mark. There's a trial going on right now in Georgia. It's the Gordon Lee trial. We've talked about it a little bit on the show. And basically the scenario was a kid and his mom come into a comic shop. The kid picks up a comic, and it's one of the free comic book day lineup. Takes it home. It's got a true fiction scene of George Brock meeting Pablo Picasso, and Picasso's in the nude. No sexual content, you know, nothing, you know, objectionable. Yes.
Objectionable. I got it. I'm first. I'm
good. You're coming.
To a lot of people's lives. But anyway, they basically got arrested and is on trial for offering explicit material to a minor. So my question is, do you go through the free comic books to make sure that they are age appropriate?
Why? No. No, I don't. I would hope that the publishers would, you know, kind of go through it themselves and wouldn't print something objectionable. You're not going to find anybody having sex. I truly don't think the image that they're using, you know, Picasso nude, I think it was from behind or whatever anyways, is such a horrific thing for a kid to see to begin with. I mean, it's a butt. We've all got them.
Well, you know, but it was objectionable, and it's been objectionable, see, I can say it, to the point that I think the Free Comic Book Legal Defense Fund...
CB, whatever.
They've spent, some ungodly amount of money, like, you know, $50,000 or $60,000.
$60,000 now, I think.
On defending this guy. Most of the charges have been dropped. Well,
it's in the South. That's the truth of it. The Southern states are just not as progressive.
Well, as long as you have, you know, what is obscene not being defined, you can make it whatever you want. So,
But it just struck me that not only, I mean, if the guy had made $3 on it, you know, would have made it right. But I mean, this is a free comic book.
Well, it goes back to that same old line that, you know, there is no guideline, there are no warnings. Marvel does their own warnings. The you know, DC prints the CCA label on some books, whichever one's passed the CCA, but retailers aren't always made aware of what is in a book. Now, in this case, it seems a bit ridiculous because you go in any art gallery, you go in any, you know, library and pick out a book on fine art, on Pablo Picasso's art, and you're going to see the same amount of nudity or way more. And I don't know that anyone's going to object to that. It's just, I think, because it was in a comic book.
Yeah. You know, and you know, I know that Mark was, not that you were really selective about what you're carrying on Free Comic Book Day, but...
Oh, no, I was selective.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have what, about 12, 14 titles out there.
Well, as I said, there had to be at least 100 that were offered originally. And truth be told, I think Matt had said that we kind of bought the the books that we ordered were for our regular customers. Mm-hmm. We ordered the stuff that our regular guys are going to like, Star Wars and Conan and the Marvel and the DC and Simpsons and stuff that we normally sell anyway. So it's going to be our regular pull box guys coming in, our regular customers in general coming in to get that stuff. So, yeah, I was very picky about what I ordered this time. So
I think he had something like 50 different comics there. So
like I said, it's not hard to do that. You just got to go crazy. But he's in a more rural area, so it's probably a little easier for him to probably getting more people coming in for that event, too.
It's probably a little bit bigger event. So.
Probably.
So I'm sure we'll do more on that story here in coming weeks. But let's move on to some final thoughts. We'll start with Sal. Final thoughts on Free Comic Book Day.
Well, like I said, it's a nice event. It's a good idea. And if it has a flaw, it is that it's only going to be as successful as retailers make it. And in a lot of cases, it's hard for them to do that. So I think it's a great concept, and certainly it's good to see publishers looking for ways to help retailers out. But I think it's just a start, and there needs to be more done in that regards. But at the same time, retailers have to take some responsibility and realize that they are in business, and that the only way to make any money is to spend money and invest time and into promoting and marketing and getting people into your store. So on both sides of it, there are ways for it to be successful and ways for it to fail.
Matt?
Obviously I think it's a good idea. I think that what we need to do, or what the industry needs to do, is focus on what is the purpose. If the purpose of Free Comic Book Day is to expand the marketplace, then, these comic companies, Marvel and DC, and especially Diamond, they need to step up with advertising dollars. They need to step up to promote their wares to people. I mean, because think about this. Imagine that, the local grocery store was responsible for having to advertise Coke, I mean, they're not making the stuff. They're selling it. They should not be the ones having to do all the effort to get people to come in, There's nothing out there, really, to direct people into the shops. And that's what we need, if that's what their goal is. If their goal is just to give people who are already customers, a nice freebie for being a supportive customer, that's cool. That's totally different, though. So whichever,
Make up your mind.
Yeah, just, what is the point of it? Are we trying to expand the marketplace or not? And then they need to get up and help out. There needs to be some kind of, much more aggressive co-op advertising program, I think.
And I think co-op's the way to do it, but no, I agree. Mr. Baby?
I'm just going to agree with Matt. He pretty much said everything. He's completely right. I mean,
Matt,
I need to...
Matt
was right about it. Matt was no, he's right. I mean, they need to step up and help advertise this kind of thing. Most people don't know about it. The average person, is not going to know about this. You walk up to somebody at a grocery store or somebody at a department store and ask them, what's Free Comic Book Day? They're probably not going to know.
You know what I'd love to see is, when is X3 coming out?
May
2005th
or something.
But, I mean, they should be, running spots for that. It's probably starting about now. Wouldn't it have been great that at the end of that spot?
That's a lot to ask, though. I mean, that's huge dollars you're talking for something that nobody's making a whole lot of money on.
Just a little, 2-second plug, go into your local comic shop on May 6th for Free Comic Book Day. At the end.
Yeah, it would be nice, but that's not Marvel's way. It doesn't seem to be that they're always out for the the local comic book store as much as themselves.
Well, in their defense, they did have low quarterly earnings.
I wonder why. They have so many good books.
Hey, pal.
No.
Don't make me thumb wrestle with you.
Hey, I grew up a Marvel guy, and DC's kicking their ass right now.
Hey, yeah, right, until last Wednesday. And the worm has turned, baby. Well, the worm has turned.
Civil War was
awesome.
Excellent.
It was awesome. That's a preview of my top of the stack, by the way. My final thoughts, real brief. I like Free Comic Book Day. Like I said earlier, it's better than a sharp stick in the eye. So it's nice that they do it. I wish that just like about everything else that is done in a marketing way, that they would be able to tie things together a little bit. That's when good marketing works, is whenever you take one event promotion or campaign, tie it into the next. And what I see in the comic industry is one, small event, you know, after another that aren't tied together. And it's whenever you get repetition of the industry promoting itself is that that's when it's successful. And I think, you know, once they figure that out, you're going to see more tie-ins with, you know, movies, you know, TV.
Hey, you know, the one thing Marvel did this week, they released a new trailer for Civil War. You know, they did that original little animated trailer thing that they did another one at the end of it. There's a spot for find your local comic shop, the website, which I can't think of off the top of my head. I mean, it's something. I think.
What was the point of that trailer? Was that on just their website, or were they distributing it places? Or
it ended up in a lot of places. They knew it was going to hit every fan.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sort of a press release. They're putting it out there, and they know it'll spiral its way through the internet.
Well, I was just having some kind of like fantasy that maybe they would actually try to put it in the media somewhere. Get people that didn't know it to actually see it.
I mean, like I said, I think this year more than any, I've seen more mainstream press picking up the stories of Free Comic Book Day. I saw in the last 2 weeks dozens of stories from websites and newspapers, and not comic book newspaper, you know, news or anything like that, just regular newspapers talking about Free Comic Book Day and giving the date. So I think it's improving. I think, you know, it's certainly getting out there more. And the more, you know, mainstream press that comics get in general, I mean, you saw the last couple of weeks with Civil War and all the press that Marvel was getting, you know, I think it can trickle down, you know, into that. So I think it'll improve. It's just a matter of keep, you know, plugging away at it. It's not there's no one little, you know, one solution. There's no turnkey solution to it. It's something you have to keep building on and keep building on.
You know, I actually think that, now that you said that, because I've noticed that Civil War has actually gotten a lot of press the last couple weeks. But was that kind of a boner to do that right when Free Comic Book Day was going to happen?
No, because it was a perfect time.
Well, but look at it. Basically,
any time is a good time to be in the news if you're in the comic industry.
That's true, but I mean, if the major news outlets, you know, let's face it, they're probably not going to cover 3 or 4 or 5 comic book stories.
You think NPR is going to do a story on Free Comic Book Day?
If no. They were getting that?
No.
I think they could. I don't know why it's any different than doing one on Civil War.
I mean, I can understand maybe what you're saying, but I think that, you know, people are going to come in and pick up Civil War, and I saw a lot of news stories about, or not news stories, but sort of information about retailers talking about how Civil War and had really pumped up their customers coming in. A lot of people were coming in picking up Civil War because of all the press. Well, that just gives the retailer that much more opportunity to say, hey, don't forget this Saturday, come in for Free Comic Book Day also. So anything that gets people to come into a shop that they haven't been in before, you know, it's hard to look at the negative of it just because, you know, regardless of the timing, it's two different things. Marvel doesn't control when Free Comic Book Day. They control when Civil War came out, and they were looking to build up to that Wednesday. You know,
they all know when Free Comic Book Day is, so yeah. They didn't have to do that if they didn't want to do it that way.
And Marvel controls. I mean, Marvel's they're the big dog, so truth be told, if they pushed a little more, it would be a lot more successful. Chris is right, if they had ran it on the commercials with X-Men at the very end saying Free Comic Book Day, May 6th, 2 seconds or even, you know, of the whole ad at the end, who knows how many people would be coming into comic book stores, right, you know, today.
Well, I think the problem with that is that Marvel Entertainment, you know, is a different entity.
And I don't know if they really want the association with comic books anymore in those movies.
Especially when you're doing, you know, the X-Men or something, Daredevil.
But you have to realize they're not making that movie just for us. They're making it, you know, to make millions and millions of dollars.
And
to
they make it
many
off of
people.
Oh, us.
Yeah.
Well, I think they don't understand. They think they're marketing this huge crowd. It's like, it's not really. It's the comic geeks, especially when they do an obscure one. I mean, Iron Man, to all of us, we know Iron Man. But the average person doesn't know.
Do you know the real Iron Man?
Well, I'm soon to find out from Mr.
Yeah, but I know lots of people that went and saw X-Men or, you know, bought the DVD that aren't comic book fans, that never picked up a comic book in their life, or Spider-Man, or... I think, you know, some of those older characters, you'd be surprised at some of the people that may have read Iron Man when they were a kid.
Well, that's the thing. They read it when they were a kid, though.
But they're not buying comics today.
But they probably won't go see the movie when it comes out, though, if they've never read the comic at any point in their life.
Well, I think in this day and age that people just go to see whatever looks cool. I mean, what the hell? V for Vendetta, for God's sakes, had like a $26 million opening weekend. Talk about obscure comics.
Yeah, but that was never
promoted as a comic.
Yeah, that was
that's true, but I mean, if you
Wachowski
don't...
Wachowski Brothers.
It was,
exactly, Wachowski
If you don't
Brothers
promote it that way, if you don't
hype it up. I mean,
right, you're trying to promote it to as many people as possible, regardless of if they're comic book fans or not. That's their goal.
They did a good marketing job, and they also they got it in all the major theaters.
And they had Natalie Portman.
And that was the, and they had Natalie Portman with a shaved head, and she looks pretty goddamn cute with a shaved head. So
I tell you what, let's veer it back in here and wrap up our topic today.
Yeah, this is long final thoughts.
Yeah. A couple things. If you want to continue the conversation, please go to our forum, and we'll be chatting this up for the next few days.
Because it's better than sitting in your basement talking to yourself.
I don't know about that. I've had some amazing conversations with myself.
It's a little bit better. Right?
If you want more information on Free Comic Book Day, you can go to aroundcomics.com and link up there, or just go to freecomicbookday.com. And I hope everyone had a great Free Comic Book Day. Send us your emails and posts telling us how it went for you. We can't wait to hear about it. And that will wrap up our topic today, and we'll move over to the news desk for Wire to Wire Comic News.
These are your top headlines for the week of May 1st, 2006. Hawkman returns. The cover to Hawk Girl number 24 teased it, but series artist Howard Chaykin confirmed it at the Pittsburgh Comic Con. "We're going to be bringing Hawkman back," Chaykin said. "He'll be back soon. Soonish, we'll start the reintroduction soon." Chaykin said that the goal for he and series writer Walter Simonson has been to streamline the characters. Kendra is a 23-year-old woman, and she has much more real problems, which I find more interesting than reincarnation, he said. Look for more as in upcoming issues Hawkman makes his return. Kanye West, the comic book. According to Time magazine, Kanye West is working on a manga-style book with animator Bill Plimpton. Simon & Schuster is publishing the book, which will be based on West's lyrics. Plimpton, best known for his short films that appeared on MTV in the 1980s, met West when drawing the raw, smudgy animation for the hip-hop star's video, Heard 'Em Say. After the two hit it off, they decided to collaborate on a book based on West's lyrics for Simon & Schuster. Half Dead gets resurrected. DB Pro announced they will publish Half Dead this fall in a graphic novel format, just in time for Halloween. Half Dead was originally planned to be published through Speakeasy Comics before the publisher closed its doors in a sudden and unfortunate surprise announcement. But while the industry mourns the loss of a publisher that was a shining star to many, the Dable brothers have worked behind the scenes to help the creative team of Half Dead to keep the book on track and ready for release. Combining the chills of modern horror with the excitement of cinematic action, Half Dead is the story of two conspiracies, human and vampire, fighting for control of London in the present day, using gas attacks, soldiers, suicide options, religious icons, and inhuman science. Both sides struggle to keep their pawns alive and fighting whether they want to or not. Check out more about Half Dead at halfdeadcomic.com. Artist Steve Epting has returned to penciling duties to join writer Ed Brubaker for the start of an action-packed thriller in London with the Star-Spangled Avenger in Captain America number 18. With the belief that his former sidekick is still alive, Captain America takes his search for the Winter Soldier to London. Unfortunately, it's not going to be all tea and crumpets for Cap as his search becomes a race against destruction in the first part of 21st Century Blitz. Along the way, Captain America will also meet up with some old friends, including another familiar flag-wearing superhero. Cap is going to need all the help he can get because the psychotic duo of Sin and Crossbones have crossed the pond over to London as well. In a related story, Brubaker renews his exclusive. The man who has taken Captain America and made the classic Super Soldier title into one of the must-read books of recent times has just accepted an exclusive contract with industry leader Marvel Comics. Though excited over the deal, Ed Brubaker is even more excited about the future. Tom Brevoort, Marvel editor and guiding hand on Brubaker's Captain America, gets right down to it when reflecting on the writer's work in his new contract with the House of Ideas. He says, "Ed brought back Bucky and made the story not suck. That's a guy worth keeping around." A According to HollywoodReporter.com, Marvel Studios has tapped director Jon Favreau to develop and direct the big screen adaptation of Iron Man. Favreau will direct a feature version of Marvel's Armored Hero and develop the script with the writing team of Arthur Markham and Matt Holloway. Writer, director, actor Favreau appeared as Foggy Nelson in 2003's Daredevil movie, and as he grew as a director, helming the effects-heavy family adventure movie Zathura, A Space Adventure, he and Marvel chairman Avi Arad looked for projects to collaborate on. Favreau's sensibilities have been to eschew CGI in favor of almost retro aesthetic. But Iron Man will see him changing his tune. Hooked on Comics and Hooked on Comics Volume 2 are at long last available on DVD. They're low budget, but feature revealing and often hilarious interviews with a ton of great artists. Featured in Volume 1 are Daniel Close, Los Brothers Hernandez, Julie Duché, Jim Woodring, J.R. Williams, Pat Moriarty, and more. Volume 2 focuses on the Chicago scene and includes Chris Ware, Ivan Brunetti, Charisse Miracle, Archer Pruitt, Jessica Abel, and Terry LeBan. Visit AroundComics.com to learn where you can order Hooked on Comics and Hooked on Comics Volume 2. Nelson Mandela the Comic Teaches History. The Black Pimpernel, the third in a series of 9 comics depicting the life of Nelson Mandela, has been published. The Madiba Legacy Series, produced by Nelson Mandela Foundation's Center of Memory and Commemoration Project, depicts Mandela's life in comic book form. You know you're really famous when you become a comic book character, joked world icon and former President Nelson Mandela at the Johannesburg launch of the series of 9 books based on his life. The aim of the books is to encourage young South Africans to read and to teach them their history. With funding from Anglo-American, 1 million copies of A Son of the Eastern Cape, the first in the series, were distributed in newspapers and to secondary schools throughout the country in October of 2005. Marvel's Civil War continues to receive a tremendous amount of mainstream attention. On Tuesday, May 2nd, Marvel Editor-in-Chief Joe Quesada was a special guest on a webcast for ABCNews.com. The most eagerly anticipated book of the year is going to be featured in an ABC World News Tonight webcast. Civil War continues to capture the mainstream media's attention. Since the project was announced, Civil War has been featured in numerous magazines, newspapers, and radio programs all across the country. Those include NPR's Talk of the Nation, the New York Times, the Philadelphia Daily News, Metro News, Asbury Park Press, the Boston Herald, and the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. These have been your top headlines for the week of May 1st, 2006. For the full version of these and other stories, go to www.aroundcomics.com, your source for the best in comics news, reviews, and opinions.
Comics is brought to you by Dark Tower Comic Books and Collectibles. Already Chicago's source for the best in comic selection, knowledge, and service, we're announcing that Dark Tower is getting even better. Dark Tower is moving. As of Monday, May 1st, you can visit their new location at 4835 Northwestern Avenue. What does this mean to you? A bigger store, bigger selection, more room for gaming, and more parking. Dark Tower still offers one of the best pull-list memberships in Chicago, but don't forget about their trade paperback readers program and convenient pre-ordering. For more information, call Dark Tower at 773-506-0400 or visit them on the web at darktowercomics.net.
All right, there are your top headlines for the week. Let's run them down. First one, Hawkman Returns. It was Howard Chaykin who's doing Hawkgirl, and they're giving some clues that that Hawkman's coming back. So,
three words for you. What a surprise.
Yeah, have you guys been reading that post 1 year later stories?
In Hawkgirl?
Hawkgirl.
It's good so far. I have.
I've heard that it's not Chaykin's strongest work. You know, in comparison to what I'm seeing from what he's getting ready to do in New Avengers.
Well, Sal's the big shaking guy. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, his style has evolved a bit over the years, and I don't like it as much now. It seems like he's tried to create something that he can do faster work. And I don't appreciate it as much as I do his older stuff. At least not on a monthly book. I mean, it may just be hard for him to get out a monthly book with the type of art that he can really create. But, you know, his stuff that he did, you know, years ago, even more recently, like Power and Glory, you know, which wasn't all that long ago, is just fantastic compared to
Challenges of the Unknowns miniseries.
Yeah, that was real good.
He didn't draw Fight Club, did he? Did he just
write it? No, he just wrote it. He just writes that.
Nope.
I haven't been reading the Hawkgirl. I picked up, I think, the first issue that he did, and I just... There's something about the style that he's doing now that I just don't like nearly as much as his older stuff.
I don't think anyone, you know, doubted for a second that Hawkman was, you know, going to stay gone.
No, well, he's died twice in the same, in like, you know, 50 issues, basically. He's gone.
Yeah, I mean, this is like his, you know, whatever, 37th reincarnation of being changed in the DC Universe. I hope they pick one and settle. I don't know what it is about these characters like this, these minor, kind of
he's
minor
come
characters.
Back as like Eagle Man.
That are, they're just, why is poor Hawkman so incomprehensible? I don't know, something about that guy. But, you know, one thing I do want to mention about this is I do think it's kind of interesting the fact that it seems like that, maybe like never before, that DC's really letting their other media properties kind of drive their comics. Hawkgirl only became popular and was a big deal because of the JLA, a JLU cartoon. And so now she's kind of like the Hawk in the DC universe.
Whatever works, baby.
So I know, but I just think it's kind of interesting.
They just need a good female hero. That's why. They don't have enough of them.
I just think it's kind of interesting that they're going back and forth and kind of taking stuff from the cartoon. And
see. The next, what I'm really excited about, Kanye West, the comic book.
That's a joke. This is a joke, right?
Is this going to have any anti-Bush?
A late April Fool's joke?
Yeah, I was going to say there's going to be a panel. Just an awestruck.
She's a gold digger.
There's just going to be an awestruck picture of Mike Myers in the background of like every panel of this book. It's like, what are you talking about?
Oh, no, you did.
Well, Bill Clinton.
He's a local guy. Kanye's a local Chicago guy. Maybe we can get him on the show, Kanye.
So you're saying it's our city's fault?
No, hey, if nothing else, the guy definitely has stuff to say. He's not your typical, you know, hip-hop star. He does have opinions and thinks about things and wants to communicate more than just maybe, you know, your basic hook of his new song. So,
okay, he's a singer. They all have an opinion. Doesn't mean it's a good
thing. Well, hey, who's it? I mean, who's, you know,
Bono,
you know,
there is a perfect who example. Validates somebody that. Needs to just shut up.
And Mark just pissed off all the YouTube fans.
Rock on. So now we got YouTube fans, Sandman fans. Who else can we
We're just knocking them off one by one.
You know, like, I'm not a fan of his music.
Who's next? Bon Jovi.
Yeah, I don't really know his stuff, but
Bon Jovi.
You know, this is the kind of thing, if we're talking about getting reaching out to a new audience.
I mean, Bongo.
This is the kind of thing that is going to do it more so than, you know, a big superhero civil war.
Yeah.
So
I think people will be surprised what comes out of that. I'm expecting more than just some crappy
video.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you know, I'm not like a Kanye West fan or anything. I mean, I like some of his music, but I've seen some documentaries on the guy, and he's not your typical, like I said, you know, gold chain, gold tooth, chalice waving, you know.
Now you just offended all of those fans of ours.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's a ton of those out there. I think that it may actually have some substance to the book.
Well, see, I like Bill Plimpton.
Well, so. Yeah, Bill Plimpton. I mean, that to me is crazy. Think about that. Somebody who is most famous probably for doing these cartoons on, what was that, 100 Liquid Television or whatever back in MTV?
Yeah, and then they turned into MTV commercials and does a lot of
advertising. So, American Airlines commercials.
Yeah,
interesting to see. I haven't seen any of his newer stuff lately, so I don't know.
We'll say, Half Dead is coming back. This was that a speakeasy title? It seems like all these speakeasy.
It was a speakeasy title that, you know, another speakeasy title that unfortunately is going to have to be, it was picked up by Alias, I think. I think Alias picked them up.
It's just one more of the speakeasy titles that have been picked up, which, you know, just shows what a shame it was that all these books were signed on with Speakeasy, and, you know, in the middle of the night they closed up.
That was their downfall, though, is that they had too many books coming out and not enough clear marketing plans for any of them, and unfortunately a lot of creators got, you know, hurt by it. Seems like a lot of them are getting out of it. You know, Athena Voltaire and
got picked up by
Ed. Yeah. I mean, the good Smoke stuff's going to find its feet.
So. Yeah, yeah. So
there's another one, Spell Game, which was actually wasn't bad.
So hopefully, you know,
it sounds like a neat premise for a book. So you know, I'm looking forward to that.
You know, Recorder, I mean, hey, check it out.
Try it out. So good for the team at Half Dead. In a couple of related stories, number one. Steve Epting is coming back to Captain America, which, you know, fans of the original couple arcs of that series should be happy. I thought he did a great job on that book.
Oh yeah, I think his art really fit the tone of that book so well. And it just made it such a better story because he was able to really convey the depth that, you know, Brubaker's
been it perfectly caught the feel of what Brubaker was writing. Now, Mark, I know that you're a big fan of the Cat book. Are you glad that Epting's coming back to it?
Yeah, I am. I'm very happy. I personally didn't really mind the second artist's work either. I mean, it didn't really diminish that much. It was still a good storyteller, did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice to see Epting come back because I did like his work better.
Yeah, although, I mean, my point of view, really, I guess, is that I haven't really noticed a drop off in quality. I'm just as happy with.
Yeah, that honestly was really good. Although I'd still cut off Steve Epting's writing or drawing arm to get Howard Chaykin to draw that book. But.
that is Sal's dream as a Brubaker, Chaykin, Captain America. So, but you're getting closer to that. You're gonna have Bendis Captain America.
That's pretty good start.
So that should be awesome. So we're talking about some of the preview pages, which you can check out on our site. Of Chaykin's going to be doing was it number
New Avengers?
21?
Yeah, 21. I think it's 21 of New Avengers. I guess that's what I think. Throughout the Civil War Avengers, he's going to be using different guest artists.
Each issue is going to be a standalone for like each member of the Avengers. Right. So you'll see a Spider-Man story that'll have a guest artist that'll sit in. Which is
good, man, because we haven't gotten enough Spider-Man stories out of Marvel.
No.
Glad for that.
Never enough.
In the related story, Brubaker has extended his exclusive with Marvel. So you know, we talked about that a little bit last week.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about in our Company Men episode about exclusives and some of the pros and cons for that, but for people that are liking Daredevil and Captain America and really looking forward to Uncanny X-Men, I think this is really good news for Marvel fans.
Absolutely. I think Ed Brubaker has a ton of talent that hasn't been used yet. I mean, that guy... What he's done on Daredevil and Cap so far is just phenomenal.
You're just being biased.
Just kissing ass because he mentioned it.
Granted,
he throws me in there too. I'm going to be his best boy also.
Even so, I can look at it. You know, I can compartmentalize. You know, any feelings I may have for Ed.
As long as CO Salazar makes a return.
Well,
he's going to get shanked next.
Don't you watch movie CO Salazar for your own series? Don't you guys?
Yes.
No, actually, if I got
kind of like the Batman series,
my dream is that Bullseye wastes CO Salazar in an upcoming issue of Daredevil. That would be way too cool. So.
And then he screams, "No, not like
that." I don't think I'm going to see. I don't think you're going to see a reappearance of that character. That
was very
his last thing. No, not my, but my podcast.
Not this way.
The listeners.
Not like this.
So we're glad that Brew is signed on for a while longer at Marvel. Jon Favreau is going to direct Iron Man. And which brings me two things I want to mention. We actually, if you go to the site, we have a hidden little Easter egg where myself, Sal, and Tom Caters talk about this at length. And speaking of Easter eggs, we are adding these into the site more and more all the time. And thank you to Indie Spinner Rack for giving us the inspiration to do that. If you're an indie comic fan, please check out Indie Spinner Rack. Chuck and Phil do a great job with that.
I get you a little bell when you plug things. Just ding!
Man, I was just telling Sal before that, you guys, I can't find any of them, so I'm kind of...
Oh, any of the Easter eggs?
They're
hidden all over the site. You got to go and look.
Go to the Favreau.
I found one. Mostly because Chris showed me.
Yeah. Go to the Jon Favreau is announced as Iron Man director story, and there's a little Iron Man helmet on there. Click on that, and that will give you a web-only, 12-minute
podcast. Yeah, it's 12, 13 minutes. Just talk to Citizen Dave, who apparently has way too much time on his hand, invites them instantly. Now I got to go home.
So we've got all sorts of neat little Easter eggs spread out through the site, and you'll get more and more probably every week. Guys, we'll go into it on this cast a little bit. Jon Favreau as the Iron Man director.
I don't know. I like the guy. I'm just not sure he's how well this is the kind of movie for him or not.
Oh, and you say his name.
Speaking of the devil, Dave Wachter has just entered the building.
If I say it three more times, will he go away?
Dave, welcome to Around Comics. If you want to say hello to everyone here.
Hello to everyone here.
All right, now go buy some comics. We'll talk to you in a little bit.
Yeah, buy the free comics.
So Jon Favreau as the Iron Man director. You know, he's a director I like. He's an actor I've liked in the past. He's not my favorite in anything.
I really enjoyed
him
in Elf as the doctor.
He directed that. So
I know.
But you know, we just plugged Indie Spinner Rack, but another big nod to Jon Favreau because this show is really, we try and pattern it after Dinner for Five. Sal and I both love that show, and that's a lot of the feel that we want to get here. So I'm a Favreau fan.
I think it'll be interesting to see. I don't know if he's a comic book fan at all, but he's already kind of shown a little bit of concern for what the fans want by he recently. Started a MySpace page, and where he was asking opinions on who should play Tony Stark, or different plot elements.
No,
I don't know, but at least it whether he takes any of the advice there, or listens to it, or even it's him actually posting there or not, who knows? But it seems like it's a step in the direction of wanting to find out what fan opinion is about a movie before you go out and make it. So. If nothing else, he's got some humility, maybe. And he seems like a very bright guy. He's made some pretty good movies on small budgets, so it'll be interesting to see if he gets his hands on some real dollars, what he can do. Hopefully it won't, take a guy out of his element and, he'll just throw dollars at everything and it'll just be this big CG.
I've just been handed a card.
Dave, they're bashing the Hulk again.
Iron Man would be perfect.
Vince Vaughn.
Because Vince Vaughn can do anything as far as myself and Matt are concerned.
He can do no wrong. I agree.
And you could go into this whole Tony Stark in Swingers thing where it's
Vegas baby.
And Swingers too.
It's going to depend on what type of Iron Man movie they're going to make. Is it going to be about the character? Is it going to be about Tony Stark? Or is it going to be...
About the alcohol.
Well, yeah,
it's gotta be. What the hell else drama does that character have?
Well, or is it gonna just be, is it just gonna be this big action flick where he's just, it's all about the armor and the cool effects?
But I think that's such an integral part of Iron Man. I mean, that's who Iron Man is.
Well, I had said that originally that I think they would probably, wait and maybe touch on that, but I don't think you could do that with the first film just because
I think you'd have to touch on it a little. I mean, you'd have to touch
on it. You have to care about him for that to make a difference.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing with the first movie is they introduce, you got to care about the character. So if they don't introduce those kind of parts, how are you ever going to like the guy? Otherwise, he's just some rich guy with a really cool suit of armor and,
well, that's why,
gets the ladies and I think we
the bad guys. We focus on Favreau.
He's James Bond.
Yeah.
That's right.
We focus on Favreau directing this, but I think something that we need to be, very, critical of is who they're going to, tab to write this thing.
Yeah.
Well, there's already some big names that are interested in writing it, so that's a good sign. There's a lot of big. I can't think of them, so they're not that big. But
rewind the episode; it's in the. But hopefully it's people that understand the character, are comic fans, and can really tap into that Tony Stark story. Anyway, let's move on. Hooked on Comics and Hooked on Comics Volume 2 DVDs that are basically spotlighting through interviews and interaction with a lot of top independent artists.
Underground artists.
Are we gonna check that out?
So have you seen any of those?
No, I have not.
I definitely want to.
A lot of those names are familiar to me from my independent comic days back in the 90s, so I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, I definitely want to check it out. It looks, I just happened to see it somewhere that it was available. It was on a blog or something. I'm like, wow. And I started reading the names that they were, you know, talking about. I'm like, that's probably going to be really interesting. And I know the second DB, there's two of them, two volumes. And the second one is really around the, like, Chicago.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about that. You know, Chris Ware, what's in another related story, if you are in the Chicago area, I believe right now the Chicago Contemporary of Art Museum, Contemporary Art Museum has a Chris Ware exhibit going on, I believe, through August 27th. So,
what museum was that?
It's the Chicago. The Museum of Contemporary Art downtown.
In Chicago?
Yes.
Here, in our own city.
In Chicago.
How many damn museums in this city?
That's a fantastic museum.
Chris, it's like a room. It's like a closet.
It's huge. It is a huge, wonderful art museum.
To piggyback off that, though, too, I want you guys to remember that the big traveling comic art exhibit that's in Milwaukee right now, too, running through August. So I'm planning on going sometime. I don't know if it's a road trip up here.
I don't know if you guys want a road trip up there or not,
but it's supposed to be a great exhibit.
I got a friend of mine. She emailed me, and she goes, road trip? She read about it in some paper or magazine.
Well, and then Milwaukee's art museum is fantastic.
That's a whole lot.
Yeah, the new Calatrava designed Flying Wing Art Museum.
So what do you say? It's more museum than Milwaukee deserves.
And there's a cool bar in Milwaukee called the
Safe House.
Yeah.
My buddy thankfully gave me the password because I didn't have to do anything on screen.
Yeah, I was going to invite you guys up there and make you go through that. But if you already know it, then.
That's a cool place.
We can get Neesman.
Yeah, he don't know the password.
No.
So.
Great.
Sorry, Matt.
Thanks, guys. new lineup on the show next week, folks. So we'll be checking
Chris
that out.
Chris leaving the show? That's terrible.
Be lost at the safe house. Next story, Nelson Mandela, the comic book. Sal, you brought this up on the forum and got the story posted. What do you think about this?
Oh, I think it's a great thing. I mean, they're using it to not only teach, you know, the people there, the kids there, their history and one of the most, if not the most important person in their history of that country, Nelson Mandela, but it's also teaching, you know, people to read, to use a medium, you know, I mean, it's just a perfect example of the, you know, ability of comics and what the medium could really be used for in a lot of instances if people can get past sort of, you know, the stigma of, you know, whatever. But to have someone of his status, of, you know, Nelson Mandela.
And it sounds like he's really involved.
Yeah, and his foundation and everything. And they're, you know, they're giving away millions and millions of copies to the children of South Africa to help them read and help them learn the history of Nelson Mandela.
So. Is it going to be printed? What language is it printed in?
South African.
There's so many dialects, though. I mean, there's hundreds of dialects, from what I understand, from different regions in Africa.
The primary language is English there, right?
English, I think they have Dutch as one of their official...
I'm not sure.
Afrikaans.
Oh, I hate the Dutch.
Yeah. It's called Afrikaans, I think, is their official language. But it's cool, I guess. For some reason, I just had a picture in my head of, like, you know, Nelson Mandela as a superhero. I was like, when we were kids, they had, like, when William the Refrigerator Perry joined G.I. Joe or something, you know, it was, like, really... It was just some kind of a weird thing to have these real people in the...
Well, I think they're taking it a little more serious.
What was it called in the news article? Was it the Black Pimpernel?
Black Pimpernel, yeah.
I'm telling you, they could sell a lot more cars if it's called the Black Pimp. I'm telling you.
Nelson Mandela, the Black Pimp. We just reached an all new level.
That's a whole different thing.
For those of you that don't know Nelson Mandela's history or didn't read the article, that was a name that was given to him by the media in South Africa when he was a young man and could not be captured. So that's why that first issue, because it's all about
the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Well, obviously, yes.
For our uneducated,
everybody talks about the other colored Pimpernels.
The chartreuse, the beige
Pimpernel.
The puce Pimpernel, that's the best one.
I actually think they had an episode of that on Blackadder one time, but never mind.
But actually, in the book, there's a couple of pages from, if you go to the article on our website, aroundcomics.com, there's a couple of art pictures there from it, and it, you know, looked actually pretty good. I mean, as far as the quality of it, didn't seem like, you know, some of these, you know, like I said, when William Perry was in a comic, it's not exactly your best artist working on it, where this looked like it's a very serious thing they're taking.
I think it was the same people that worked on Team America.
NFL Man, or what was that?
NFL Super Pro.
Yeah, Super Pro.
South Africa as a country is really
they have a lot of problems. I mean, HIV is through the roof and great levels of poverty and everything. So, and whatever can help, if that's going to help the kids learn, you know, then hey, what the hell?
All right. Well, we'll move on to our last story, and that is the Marvel Media Blitz surrounding Civil War. And
wait, what book was that?
Marvel has a big book out.
Yes, that's
great. What's it about?
This past Wednesday, Marvel released the first issue in Civil War, which has been leading up here the last few months, and it was surrounded by really a large amount of media coverage, whether that be ABCNews.com, NPR, several newspaper articles, anything from
the Fort Wayne Gazette.
Fort Wayne Gazette. And I'm
only a newsprint, or is it on TV at all?
It sounds like
radio,
a lot of it was
online,
actually.
They're on NPR's
NPR doesn't count. Nobody listens to them.
NPR well, every day.
They're on an NPR broadcast live, and they were on ABC's webcast.
Which is a whole different thing than being on the news.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's why I was saying the webcast thing. I'm like, well, that's useful. I've never listen to it or seen it in my life. So.
I think a lot of people get their news from the web these days. But, I think the whole point is that they're getting a lot of media coverage. You know, it may not be, you know, on the 5 o'clock news, you know, or CNN, but, you know, they are.
There's no Superman on the cover of Time magazine or anything. But.
Well, we'll talk. I mean, we're going to talk about the book and the merits and positives and everything about that later. But I don't know. Comic companies seem like they can just, they do this every once in a while. There's some, like, big news story, you know, about whatever event.
Hey,
they
bring it on. Bring it on. It's better to see it than
not see it. I hope
that
it's actually bringing people in.
Well, it seems, I mean, you know, obviously don't know the full truth of it, but there was, you know, a press release from Marvel with quotes from some of their retailers talking about, you know, they were selling out of Civil War. They had, you know, people coming in that they had never seen before. They had over-ordered, you know, copies of it and were selling out. I mean, I don't know.
We didn't sell out. We definitely ordered a lot of them, though, more than we usually do, even a little over what we...
Well, we're recording this on Saturday, so you've had, you know, Wednesday...
We sold probably about half of what we ordered.
Can I ask you what you've sold on
it? About 100 and a quarter.
Okay, that's...
So we sold at least... About 75 copies probably we've sold at least.
And you know, I mean, could you tell where a lot of those, you know, people that normally come into the store, did you have any
A lot of, I mean, the main portion were the people that come into the store normally, but there were a lot of people that I haven't really seen before that came in and picked it up.
Yeah, so,
that by itself or that in one other book. And,
yeah, this was the very first Wednesday that you've been in the new location, so
yes, exactly.
It's a little hard to tell that. Yeah. So.
But, there, I mean, it has a lot of people been coming in buying it.
Indications...
You push it if they don't have it in their pile, you mention it, and they usually go back and grab it, too, so... Yeah.
The indications are that, you know, it is doing well and it is bringing in the media stuff that's out there and is bringing in new people or people that, you know, may not have read stuff. So, I mean, you know, it may be that, you know, same sort of collector mentality that we saw with the death of Superman, you know, where people are just trying to jump on it, but...
I haven't seen too many people buying multiple copies of it, which is unusual. I mean, there's been a couple books recently that people have been doing that too. Wolverine Origin, you know, two covers, one Turner cover would be... And everybody's been buying multiple copies of those. There's been a couple other books that they've done that to, but not so much this one. It's been single. I mean, it's actually fairly impressive that it's been single sales that have actually depleted that much.
Coming in
within you know, 3 days, basically.
Because there are alternate covers for that, right?
There were variant covers, one in 25, which was a Michael Turner cover. Again, you know, I'm not in love with Michael Turner, but it's a nice enough cover.
He's turning into Mr. Variant Cover.
He's turning into Mr. Cover. When does he bring out a monthly book on time?
Man knows his
every time.
Well, with that Marvel deal, that's that deal with Wildstorm where they have him to do covers.
Yeah.
You know, I got to say, some of those Civil War stuff that he's done, though, I mean, I've never been that huge of a Michael Turner fan. I like some of his stuff, but a lot of time it looks weird. Yeah. I mean, some of his people, but some of that Civil War stuff he's done is pretty phenomenal, and some of his best work, I think.
Yeah, there's I've seen a couple covers. This one was okay, but it was a color cover, 1 in 25, and there was a sketch cover, which was 1 in 75.
Okay.
So.
Well, it'll be interesting.
We're actually
to see
sold out of both.
It'll be interesting to see if the media attention for Civil War continues through, you know, the first 3 months over the summer here, if it continues to get any play in the media as it's, I mean, it really is playing off a lot of, you know, current events and themes.
Well, I think one of the, you know, one of the advantages that they have going into it is that you have a character like Captain America that's right in the middle of it and taking a stand on something that's controversial, that's going to, you know, and I think that's where the media coverage is coming from. They're talking about politics and politics that relate, you know, almost identically. Yes. Uh-huh, with what's happening in this country now, today. So, I mean, it's something people can relate to, and it's not necessarily taking a side on either, you know, side of it, but it's examining it and questioning what's going on.
And that makes it newsworthy.
Yeah, and I think that's where they're getting it. But add that, you know, with a character who already is political in Captain America, whether, you know, anyone ever wants him to be or not, he just is because his name is Captain America and he wears a flag. I think that's an advantage for Marvel that, you know, mainstream news will try and use that or, you know, jump on that, you know, to write stories about.
Anybody else? That should wrap up our news for today. That means it is time for Top of the Stack. That's right. It is Top of the Stack. It's our chance to let you, the listener, know what we've been reading for the last week. So let's get to it. Mr. Beatty, what is your Top of the Stack this week?
Oh, sure. Me first.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually going to go with something. It's Civil War, and I'm just kidding. I am going to go with a book called Daughters of the Dragon, which I think is just a fun book. Here, I'll read you the basic setup. I have it written down.
Hey, all right.
Just here. That's the paper. Basically, bounty hunters Misty Knight and Colleen Wing star in this sexy action thriller, Daughters of the Dragon, the latest project from writers Justin Gray and Jimmy Palmiotti. As they're saying, it's an entertaining mix of gritty action, biting comedy, sharp visuals provided by talented newcomer Carrie Evans. She is new. This seems to be her first book. It's just, I started reading it the first issue just kind of to see how it was, and I really enjoyed it. It's basically they're running a bail bonds thing, and they have basically some bail jumpers, some really D-grade villains like Humbug, 8-Ball, Whirlwind, other people that appear, Freezer Burn, just terrible. Even I mean, they have the Porcupine, the Jester, Kangaroo, Hammer and Anvil, Cottonmouth, and my favorite, Dr. Bong, straight from Howard the Duck comics.
Dr. Bong.
Any book that can use Dr. Bong has got my vote.
I think that's
for Top of the Stack, baby.
Old school Captain America villain.
It's a terrible. Oh, this is that's the worst of villains ever. But they're great. They're actually great. They're going after. There's a certain item that's missing that it gets. It's basically somebody's after a character created called Riccadonna. But the art is just fantastic. The story is great. If you like books like She-Hulk or The Thing, you're going to like Daughters of the Dragon. It's got a lot of humor in it, but the art's just great. Really works the book. It's on its fourth issue, I think, right now. It's a six-issue miniseries.
Do Power Man and Iron Fist make any guest appearances?
Iron Fist is appearing, I think, in the fifth issue, I think.
Who's Power Man?
Iron Fist is. I don't think Power Man. Power Man's Hero for Hire, of
Luke
course.
Cage.
Luke Cage, baby. Sweet Christmas, don't you know
that? He's long gone from using that cool name, though.
Yeah, he's now he's too cool to be called that. So
he's a daddy now. He had to grow up.
Yeah, the writers are Justin Gray and James Palmiotti. And Justin Gray he's done small stuff like Amazing Fantasy, an issue from there, I think number 19, Marvel Adventure issues, a couple of those. Really not too much. But he's doing a great job on this book. It's really entertaining, and I look forward to it every time. Like I said, the art is just, it's unique enough and cool enough. You've never seen Misty Knight look so 70s in her life. And nice. Colleen Wing, I never thought she was much of a character, but I mean, she kicks some ass.
Kicks the booty.
I mean, she takes down the Rhino, you know? And I mean, in a way that you're just like, man, that's...
Fanboys are just screaming right now.
This is the perfect book for Tarantino to take over. He wants to do a comic book movie. Daughters of the Dragon is perfect for him.
Nice.
Is it sort of Marvel's answer to Birds of Prey?
Not really. Not really.
Oh, never mind.
I think they kick the crap out of the Huntress and stuff. I tell you, Colleen Wing rocks. Nice. But it's a really, really enjoyable book. And that's my Top of the Stack pick.
Mr. Summer, what have you got for us this week?
Oh, well, I'm actually surprised I never talked about this book before because
Like the 3 years I wasn't buying comics, this is the one comic I still bought. Now, I know, I don't know about you guys, but when I was a kid, being a nerd meant comic books, but it also meant playing Dungeons and Dragons and other role-playing games like that. So,
as a fellow nerd, I have no idea.
I've been to Gen Con.
Okay, yeah, So for me, growing up, D&D was always a big part of being a kid, and with my friends in high school and messing around with that stuff. And so, I'm trying to think when this was.
What is the book?
During the mid-90s. Well, I'm getting there.
Does it have a title?
During the mid-90s, the book came out called Knights of the Dinner Table. Knights of the Dinner Table, which is, it started out as a humor strip. A gamer humor strip in the back of Shadus magazine, and it proved popular enough that the guy who was doing the magazine, Jolly Blackburn is his name, swear to God, he needed an extra space, and so he kept drawing this strip, and he thought it was going to be a one-off, one-page strip, but demand was such that they kept wanting more and more and more and more, and eventually he decided to do a self-publishing, make a comic, an actual 22-page comic of gamer strips, and it's really been a runaway success. It always wins awards at the all the gaming awards for best gaming magazine in the industry, and it's currently up to issue 111 right now. The format, basically, is, look, if you're looking for artwork, this book is not your book. He's a very limited artist, and what art he does have, he uses a lot of clips, a lot of cut and paste to make the panels. So the panels are usually very static. They're usually four people sitting at a table, and a game master guy who runs the game. And the gist of the strips is pretty much that, the game master tries to run a game. There's a couple players that are idiots, a couple players that are power gamers that want to kill everything that moves, a couple people, one person that wants to talk to everything. And so it's kind of a mix, and what, wackiness ensues.
It's kind of like our panel.
Yeah, pretty much, if we were playing Dungeons and Dragons instead of recording a podcast. And so you get about, you get 22 pages worth of gamer strips, comic strips in here. It is though a magazine, so it has articles on gaming and reviews of old games and reviews of new games, reviews of books, some adventure ideas. The company Kenzer & Co. that publishes this magazine, they also have their own role-playing game line, so they have articles in there that support that, support generic D&D, other stuff. So anybody that likes a good comic humor with gaming, if you have any experience playing Dungeons & Dragons, if you ever played an elf, this is something you should check out.
All right.
I also did want to throw in one little quick cheating extra for The Thing, number 6. Mr. Caters, I got a question for you.
Tom Caters has just walked into our midst here.
Who's the artist on The Thing, number 6? Did you read that one yet?
I did read it, and I don't know.
Okay, it's a fill-in artist. I'm sorry to waste everybody's time with that. The book does have a fill-in artist, but I am going to recommend that people check out The Thing, number 6, this week, only because he asks Spider-Man, what the hell is the deal with the three arms?
All right, so everyone go pull
Dan Slott's thing.
Exactly. Sal, what is your top of the stack?
My top of the stack is actually a free comic book that I got on Free Comic Book Day.
Hey, you're staying with The Thing.
How about that? It's called The Preposterous Voyages of Ironhide Tom, and it is done by a gentleman by the name of Joel Priddy, P-R-I-D-D-Y. It's put out by Ad House Books. Their website is adhousebooks.com. And this was just an entertaining, funny, little comic. It's not a Jim Lee book. You're not going to see incredible art. The art in this book is almost sort of stylized stick figures. It's very simple, but sequentially it's very well done. For the limited, lines in the book, it's put together really well, and it's extremely funny. And it's about a character called Ironhide Tom, who is born between the mating of a crusty sailor and a hurricane one evening. And Ironhide Tom is sort of this little pirate that he seems to be basically indestructible, but not very bright. And he goes from one misadventure to the next, and he generally, you know, succeeds in his adventure one way or another, usually of no fault of his own. But he ends up, you know, with countless riches and then somehow squanders them away, is sort of the theme of the book. It's a bunch of little short stories told in three or four page sequences, and some of the titles of the chapters are Spat from the Sea, Insolence Abroad, and Wreck and Recognition. So they're funny little pirate stories with this interesting little character that is sort of a loser, done in a very simplistic way. But there's something about it that I really enjoyed, not only the humor in it and just sort of the funny little, you know, adventures that he goes on, but they're obviously the Joel pretty obviously, has interest in mythology, because there's something sort of, you know, steeped in, you know, stories of Odysseus or Sinbad, if you're, you know, a fan of that to some degree, but with a lot more humor and the hero really not being very capable of anything. And then in the back of the book, there's some larger drawings of sort of one-shot scenes of Tom getting into trouble and doing different things. And it was just a fun, funny, and interesting little book. And for a free comic book, I thought it was definitely my favorite free comic book that I got today, and just a fun little book. So if you're looking for something different and interesting, and what I think struck me the coolest about it was that it was an artist that obviously had talent or has talent, but he went for a very simple style and showed that you can effectively tell stories without having to be, you know, a major artist or, you know, extremely talented if you study the craft and how to use it. So it was just a cool little book for me.
Sequential art with basically semi-advanced stick figures.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what they are. They're like stylized stick figures, these little, but they have emotion and they tell the story and they do.
There's energy
really,
in the pants.
Yeah, there's really a.
I have a quick question. Did you actually say that the pirate and a storm?
A typhoon.
A typhoon
and
had,
a crusty
had,
pirate.
Had a relation?
Yes.
And had a.
That's how the story opens.
A typhoon.
A typhoon. It was his father was a scurvy sailor who learned to bottle the Aurora Borealis. Under its influence, he fell in love with a typhoon, and little Tom was born and then left on a sandbar.
I think I can safely say that drugs were involved in the creation of this comic.
Well, that may be the
case.
No
one comes up with that concept straight.
Well, I can say
drugs
say
or liquor or
that both were involved in the reading of this comic.
I don't think Jägermeister necessarily, but definitely. Hard liquor.
One of my favorite little stories is sort of the introduction of Tom and how he learned to survive. At first, he was eating horseshoe crabs and seaweed and barnacles, and then he was picked up by this little boat of pirates, and they taught, you know, he learned how to speak by listening to the sailors, and it was all "ar" and "avast" and stuff like that. So it's just a funny little, you know, quirky book, but it was really an entertaining read.
That sounds fun. I'm going to review a little-known book today. So you guys know me from my past reviews. I like to stay off the beaten path and
such a mainstream
and
horror.
And talk about that.
Marvel Zombie.
Yeah, I'm talking about Civil War today. It's
what was the name of the book?
Civil War. Hey, I talked.
I've heard of this book somewhere.
I talked about all sorts of stuff that aren't
completely
mainstream.
Sure.
Not going to get real in-depth with it because I'm sure that most everyone out there has picked it up and read it, but Civil War did come out this past Wednesday. I've been looking forward to it. The build-up to it has been good, in my opinion, and it hit shelves to, I think, overwhelming success this week. I really enjoyed it. I thought that Miller has constructed a very good story, obviously, with half of Marvel Studios looking over his shoulder. It was very much a team effort, but Mark Miller is the person getting credited as penning this. Steve McNiven's art, I think, is top-notch for McNiven. There are people that love his art. There are people that don't like his art. And I'll say that, you know, his characters look like mannequins, but I thought it was very good, especially there is a fight scene with Cap and, you know, a huge troop of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents on the helicarrier. That was probably, you know, 4 pages of just the best fight scene I've seen in a long time. Pick it up. You know, I can go on and on about this book, about, you know, the different issues of hero registration and civil liberties and, you know, what we think we have a right to in the way of security and how the government should take care of us and what happens when the government actually tries to step in and protect us, what can happen with that. This series is going to open up a huge amount of debate and discussion and conversation that I haven't seen in the comics industry, maybe ever. I mean, people, every forum out there has a thread right now that is probably called Whose Side Are You On? And it is a big, big event in comics, and it's going to transcend that in a lot of ways, which we're already seeing with some of the media coverage. So, you know, I really enjoyed Civil War. I hope that people that are scared away by, you know, big events or mainstream comics can look past that and see this as a very good, solid piece of work. And I think that Marvel has finally tied together a lot of the loose continuity threads that they've built up in the last 2 years, and Civil War is going to bring that stuff together. I think that this is going to be a real, you know, before and after event for them as a company. So pick up Civil War if you haven't already. I really enjoyed it.
I have to agree. I really liked the book a lot.
Yeah, I was
thought the art was great too.
To me, it actually lived up to all the hype that was coming up. Yeah, you know, and for once. And really, you know, I got hooked into this. You know, probably 2 months ago when the Spider-Man stories that were going on, and that really got me interested into it, and just all the hype building up to it and everything. It was really, you know, kind of excited for this book, which has been a long time that I've been, you know, that excited about an event.
Well, do you feel that Marvel is using this to tie their continuity together finally after you know what, a year and a half of trying to fix books and set those books, you know, up for success, which led to some erroneous continuity?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily their main goal in it.
I think they've gotten
to a point where they can do that now, where they can release an event that it is very well, you know, scripted out throughout the entire universe, so that you're not losing anything when you're trying to tell this big story and everything's out of control. So I don't know if it's necessarily that their goal to do that,
but I
think that they've set themselves up for the position that they can do with that.
Well, I'm gonna put myself forward as usual as the curmudgeon here and say
we don't want to hear that.
This is a beautiful looking book. It is a very beautiful looking book, and what Marvel's trying to do, I think, it's an interesting idea. My take on this, though, is that I think you guys are giving the writing on this first issue a big pass. I think it's kind of weak, but we can get into that. Well, we can get into that more later on. I want to talk about that.
Can't talk bad about Mark Millar. I love this guy.
I don't know what
comic in comics. The Ultimates.
I'm not sure what you want in a book as far as good writing. It introduced all the main players. It set up what, you know, this whole event is going to be about. It made you, you know, think about what side you would be on in this if this were to happen. And I don't know what else you want out of it.
I guess this is something that's not so ham-fisted. They have a goal. They have a goal where they have to break everyone up into these two camps. That's mm-hmm. their goal. And the way they're getting to that goal, I think, is a little unsubtle. That could be a little more nuanced than the way that they chose
but
to.
But the subject
someone gets pissed off in a poker game or something?
But it's a polarizing... Factions break off. That's how it happens. It happens very abruptly and sometimes loudly.
I mean, look at our country, and it's something that will polarize opinions on this. You're either going to be on one side or the other, and the main players in any situation politically are going to be the ones that speak the quickest and loudest and get on a side the fastest. That's how politics work. You don't see politicians waiting to see what happens because they know that's going to catch up to them. people are either going to choose a side and stick with it, or they're not going to say anything. So in a story that you're trying to tell about that situation, you're going to have things happening very quickly, especially when it comes to this big of a political event.
Well,
I don't see how...
I guess what I'm talking about with this is what I thought was a little ham-fisted with this is that, like I said, they obviously have a point. They obviously have to get to point B where all the heroes are split.
Okay.
The setup for what they're calling in this book, you know, several times, the straw that broke the camel's back, mm-hmm. the incident. And I don't know if we want to...
Spoilers ahead, folks, because we're getting into this.
Do we want to get into it?
Yeah,
let's okay.
go. Oh, yeah.
Okay. What happened in the beginning, the straw that broke the camel's back, to me, yes, it's a tragedy, but part of superhero comics that we all buy.
You're going to get into suspension of disbelief, right?
Well,
screw that. I don't care about suspension of disbelief.
That's the stuff that happens in this book is stuff that happens in every comic book ever.
No,
school of 900 children getting blown up.
Well,
that doesn't happen in
collateral damage in a city.
That's not the same thing as 900 innocent children being slaughtered in a supervillain. It's not the same thing.
That's fine.
Are you talking about like the Hulk running through Manhattan and destroying buildings and stuff?
Anything like that, yes. That's obviously a lot of people are probably dying. They're just not showing that to us.
But it's never been brought to the forefront.
Yeah, it's a handful. It's not been this many children. That's the biggest cue. Is that it's 900.
Okay. And it's also the situation of the country that they're at this point. With House of M and the entire mutant population disappearing and that entire gigantic event, that was leading up to this. I mean, it's always been leading up to this point. And this was something that if you look at this, you know, realistically, if you look at something like that happening, look at Columbine. Look at, you know, any event that involves children in America, everyone's going to have an opinion and jump on it on one way or another. Especially politically, there's no way they couldn't. There's no way you could not.
It was
a school blows up and 900 kids are killed. You're going to have immediate action. There's no way you can let that go on.
And I think the main reason it happened was because these kids that were completely unprepared to take down these villains, they thought they could definitely take these guys down, no problem. Didn't think about what they were doing for ratings and everything else.
You had someone to blame. You had
these young, stupid heroes that weren't trained to take care of this kind of situation, like the Avengers or other people, and that's the whole
parallel of 9/11. You know, pre-9/11, were there terrorist attacks? Yes, not on that scale, not in this country. But you look at Oklahoma, it was a terrorist attack, but not by, you know, foreign interest. Okay, so this stuff happened, so now we're talking about suspension of disbelief. But now you have a mega event that happens, that the spotlight is shown on it from around the world, and people jump to action. You look at the Patriot Act.
You got 900 sets of parents screaming about their dead kids. You don't think every politician on the planet is going to get involved. Every agency is going to...
Every news agency. Exactly.
It's something that was already in motion.
I'm not arguing with you that the event that they chose to put in this one issue is a horrific event. Yes, mm-hmm. it is. My question is that it's arbitrary that suddenly now this is happening for the first time when it's always happened.
But how can you say it's arbitrary when...
Well, it's arbitrary because that, you know, there's always been collateral damage. This has always been part of superheroics that incompetent people fight big villains and stuff happens. And I'm giving you the fact that, yes, this is special. This is a different... This is a huge tragedy. All I'm saying is that I don't know if all of a sudden we're supposed to buy in that after hundreds of issues and hundreds of, you know, years of people being heroes, that all of a sudden people are freaking clubbing Johnny Storm in the head with a bottle over this.
Yeah, but were you alive during 9/11?
No, I was actually born yesterday.
No, seriously.
You too?
Yeah, in Chicago, in cities, in towns all around America, yeah, there were Muslims that were being, you know, drugged through the streets and beat up because...
But that's not the same as someone who's been a hero for 40 years that you know is a hero, that has saved the earth.
Comic book history is a lot shorter overall.
I know that they're doing this.
Things turn quickly when it comes to a situation where
there's always a turn, there's upset,
and they're looking for someone to blame.
They'll put up with it.
People know that Johnny Storm
Sal, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry.
I was going to say, you know, people are very fickle and they turn very quickly, especially when everyone is angry about something and they're looking for someone to blame. Yes, Johnny Storm, everyone knows he saved the planet 100 times, whatever. But at that moment in time, and that's what we're talking about here, this is one moment in time. You can't take every story in the context of the Fantastic Four has been around for 50 years, because you know what? Johnny Storm's 20 years old. Mm-hmm. He's not 50 years old. He hasn't been around for 50 years. Right now, he's perpetually 20, 21, 22, whatever, however old he may be. He's only been doing this for a few years, so regardless of the history of comics, the history of that character in that time, in that context, is in the here and now, and that's when the story is told. So for people to all of a sudden turn on a character like that because, one, he's brash, young, arrogant, and is mouthing off to a group of people that are upset already, it's not that far of a step for someone to hit him over the head with a bottle. It doesn't seem like
he's embodying the what everybody hates right now about villain. About heroes. He's just young, brash,
and it wasn't overnight. Stupid. It wasn't overnight either, because the whole House of M situation was leading up to it. I mean, and that's what you have to take into perspective, is that this isn't a 22-page comic book that's told in the 5 minutes that you spent reading it. It's, you know, the last 3 months of comics that, and the time in that timeline, that comic book covered probably 2 months. Sure. I mean, you had the deaths, you had the rescue operation, you had the funerals,
the protests,
and then, you know, that was happening. Yeah. So, I mean, you're talking about 3 months of people being upset because there are 900 kids killed.
Things build up. Let's let
Matt say his piece.
Like I said, I guess I understand. I know what Miller wants to do. I know where he wants to go. Mm-hmm. I think that this is just a little too easy of a way to have this happen. I haven't been reading Marvel really that much the last few months, so I don't know all these things. Like, you know, saying, "Oh, this is building off of this and this is building off of that." You know, this is it. I'm coming in on the ground floor with this after not reading stuff for a while, and my only complaint, like I said, it just seems a little too, black and white. This happens, then this happens, and this happens, and now we're in the big event.
Well, then you set that up with black and white in the first issue, and then you spend the rest of the series and the rest of the tie-ins figuring out
talking about this one issue that I had a problem with.
Don't judge the whole series on the first issue.
I didn't, but
even the first
one
issue, it starts off with right after the catastrophe, they're cleaning up. And there's the funeral. I mean, the time passes in the comic. I mean,
it does, but what I'm saying...
Would you rather have four issues, you know, getting to the point of...
No, what I'd rather have is... I'd rather have something that I hadn't felt like I'd seen before. The scene with, like, the...
But that's the whole point.
The scene with the mother, like, "Oh, you suck, blah, blah." I feel like I've seen that in movies
they
and other
things.
They
had to put a face to the parents' despair.
I agree, but I just feel like I've seen that before. It seemed too easy to me.
I haven't seen it in the comic, not like this you have.
I've seen it in the news.
Maybe not, but I've seen it before.
Yeah, and I think that's the whole point, is that they're trying to talk about real-world issues.
The last scene, I think that this definitely is something that they would talk about, and that it would be a plan they need to deal with. But it just, again, for me, I think this is going and happening too fast at a way that's so fast that I didn't believe it happening.
The last
sequence. I'm a huge Cap fan. I love Captain America. I love the art in this book. I love seeing Captain America kick ass. But what happens to him in the Shield helicarrier, I found so unbelievable.
I didn't because Shield wanted to get him on their side. But if he wasn't going to be on their side, they can't have this man on the outside speaking against them, because he's Captain America.
Here's the thing. You're going to join us. Okay, no. All right, well, let's kill him.
They were just going to stop him. I didn't find that
realistic.
Captain America as
you guys did, obviously,
out there outspoken against the government itself. This is the last guy you want speaking against you, because everybody's going to rally behind this guy.
Now, I mean, they obviously, in such a way, forced the hand that he has no other choice.
Yeah, but you got
to
remember, he's never been a government lackey. He never has been. When he became the captain, it was because he had issues with the government at the time. He stepped away from it.
I don't think he should go along with them. I'm just saying that.
And once again, you're not talking about Nick Fury doing this, a guy who's been doing it for 30 years. You're talking about Agent Hill, who's a newly appointed director of S.H.I.E.L.D., arrogant, young, looking to prove a point, looking to get her ideas and thoughts done in this operation.
Yeah, she does.
I think it was all arrogance. It was all arrogance on her part, thinking that Cap would just go along with it.
And we know our government or military would never be arrogant. Never. So that's a stretch.
Don't say it. No, Chris and I are arguing about.
I would have taken care of it differently.
Arguing about this before that I didn't know who this person is.
Read comics.
Blame on continuity.
She's been in Marvel Comics.
You want continuity in comics.
She's been in since...
This is a big event. This is a huge event.
There's a whole Road to Civil War. All the Road to Civil War issues leading up into it. I don't...
You can't have this both ways where the media is saying, oh, here's a good issue.
Comic fans can't have it both ways where you want continuity, you want things to make sense, you want character development, but you want it in one issue.
Two panels telling me who this person is. It's not...
It wasn't two panels. She's been using it for the last 5 issues of Spider-Man, Secret War...
She's been in
tons
Avengers
of comics
issues.
in the Marvel universe.
She's been in their best-selling book.
Right here. Come on, Rogers. Cut the crap. We're never going to be tight like you and Nick Fury, but I am still the acting head of S.H.I.E.L.D. Respect the badge.
That tells me that she's the acting head of S.H.I.E.L.D.
She's not Nick Fury. She and the heroes don't have a good relationship, and she is the acting head of S.H.I.E.L.D. There. They said it.
I'll still say that I find that. I just found
that's
it.
That's a darn good piece of dialogue.
We'll give everyone a little bit of a tease here. Tune in on Wednesday. We're going to, right after we finish this episode, we're going to sit around and we're going to talk about Civil War, but probably not the book as much as the issues of Civil War. So
I'm against slavery, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, that's something.
So, guys. Thanks for the top. Wow, that was probably our longest top of the stack ever. Let's move on to some announcements. Sal, what's going on with the website these days?
It's there. Not a whole lot new with the website right now. The forums churning away. New stories daily. We're putting up new news stories. We have the submit. Section where if you want to submit, if Matt wants to write down all his complaints about Civil War and put it up as an article, go ahead, man, do it. Put it up there. We'll
randomly attack
it. This is just me saying I liked it, sort of, but it wasn't that good. I can't imagine.
Matt's going to start doing manga reviews real soon, so look for those.
What else we have on the site now? We have Easter eggs. So look around for, you got to look for them. Sorry, I'm not going to make it that easy on y'all. And that, same old stuff.
Surely becoming the best site ever.
Wow. check it out and get involved with us. Send us emails. Send us, go on the forum and talk with all of us and let us know what you think of the show. Let us know what you're reading. Let us know, what you hate or love or whatever.
All right. My announcements, real quick. First of all, if you like the show, and we sincerely hope that you do, please drop by the iTunes Music Store and write a quick review for us. We would really appreciate that. My next announcement is Around Comics and Dark Tower are pleased to announce that Mike Oliveri and Joe Bucco, the creators of Werewolves Call of the Wild, will be in store and in studio on Friday, June 30th for a book signing and guest appearance on Around Comics. Please check out their book at cotwcomic.com and listen to Around Comics for more information on the appearance as details become available. Another note, Around Comics is recorded every Friday from 7 to 9 at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles in Chicago. If you are in the Chicago area, please come by and see some true unprofessionals at work. I would like to thank the forum today. I'd like to thank the forum members today for sending in comments and emails. We appreciate that. I would like to thank the panel. You guys did a great job today. That will wrap up another episode of Around Comics. Have a fantastic week, and we will talk to you again next Monday. In the meantime, we will be everywhere in and around comics.
If you would like to suggest a topic,
send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. For that and the latest in comics news and opinions, go to www.aroundcomics.com. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next week, where the panel will change, but our mission stays the same, bringing you the best in discussion, news, and reviews in and around comics.